The views expressed in the following program are those of the host and guests and do not necessarily represent those of the Key Biscayne Independent or Miami 4th Estate. Portions were pre-recorded.
And again, I think of her. I think of you. And I want to love you. She will always be my friend.
Live from Key Biscayne, Florida, this is Antisocial, the podcast that takes a look at some news and information on the superhighway of digital connections and tries to keep it on the straight side. But we can't do anything about traffic. I'm Tony Winton.
This is John Pisani. How you doing, Tony?
Well, John, we're here in the studio without you. You're up in the your special command post, the bat cave, right?
It's the kitchen table. It's Boca Raton, baby. The Boca Raton Bureau.
Well, one of the things we talk about in the second segment of the show is traffic. And you managed to get home basically within an inch of your life with the jam that happened here last night.
Yeah,
others
I think
were
I
not
got
so lucky.
Yeah, I think I got. I did. I think I got lucky. I think I timed it. You know, I got just right. I was right at where they had stopped the traffic to let the concertgoers with the Afterlife Music Festival through. And I was about a 10-minute delay, and then I was out of there. But people were walking all over the place. It was chaotic.
Right. So we'll be that's something we'll talk about in our second segment today. But our first guest is going to be talking about another kind of, like, I guess you could say it involves something that's really stressful, right? And how to deal with the problems of life for young people. I think that's a good way to perhaps segue it.
Yes. Joining us today is Retro Bill. He's a motivational speaker for elementary, middle, and high schoolers. He is been lauded by he's been called by the 21st century Mr. Rogers. He's based out of California, but he has just done 7 shows here on the Key, 6 for school children and 1 at Crossbridge. Welcome.
Thank you. I'm honored to be here, John and Tony.
Great to be here. Let's listen to a little bit of some of the work some of what he does is available online. I'm going to play a little bit of clip of something about one of the topics you talk about just to get a sound, because what you do is really kind of unique. It's a show, right? It really is. So let's listen to a bit.
I'm writing down that guy's license plate number and the kind of car he drives in case I have to give it to the police or my parents. Make sure you tell an adult or police officer about what's happened when you've been approached by a stranger and give them any details you can about what's happened.
Good job, Retro Bill.
Right on. I've got bowling balls in my front yard.
Yes, bowling balls, sound effects, the whole bit there. It's really very, very exciting stuff. So tell us a little bit about your show and why you've been doing it.
Well, I'll take you way back really quickly to growing up in Chicago. My father's retired military, and he really instilled into all of his children service to others above self. And that really resonated for me, but I didn't follow a path in the military. I, you know, just wanted to be in the arts. But as a student in elementary and in middle school, even into high school, I was teased, I was bullied, I was made fun of. I was the skinny kid. I was the kid with buck teeth. I had the braces, severe acne, to the point where there were days I did not want to go to school. I wore my hair differently. I dressed loudly. A lot of people in school made fun of me. I was threatened to be beat up. One time I was asking somebody in high school, why does this one person want to beat me up? And I missed my school bus on purpose. These are the same kinds of things that kids are going through now, so a lot hasn't changed. And they told me, because you're too nice. And that just really hit me hard. You want to beat me up, not because I did anything to you, but because I walk around being kind. So after a career in the entertainment industry, Steven Spielberg brought me to the University of Southern California on a scholarship. I was directing music videos, car commercials, infomercials, and everything. And I loved it.
Yeah.
And it paid well. But I was always speaking part-time out since I was a high school senior against bullying. against putting others down and be your authentic self. You know, run your own race. You make fun of me. You have no power. I do not give you any permission to dim my light. That's what I try and share. So I finally, you know, I always used to hear people say, I had an epiphany. And I always wondered, well, how do you know when you have an epiphany? Well, one day after directing a car commercial, I made a nice deposit into the bank account. And the teller, the young lady, said, wow, how did you make that kind of money? And I said, well, I used to dance in a dog suit in front of car dealerships to make a buck and, you know, bus tables. But right now I'm directing car commercials. And she said, it must be great. And I stopped and I said, you know what really feels great is when you make a positive difference in another human being's life.
Yeah.
And it sounds corny, but I grew up in the cornfields of Illinois.
That is an epiphany. That's like the definition of what
really, really so. And so I went out and I got into the parking lot, grabbed my cell phone, and I called my business partners and said, I'm going to do Retro Bill full time. And the first thing I heard, you wouldn't be surprised, is, well, you're not going to get rich doing that. But right. You get rich by making a difference. That's what fills your cup for me.
Now, when you talk to kids, I mean, they're a hard audience. What do you think resonates with them so you can get your message across?
Well, that's a really good question, John. Here's what I find. I do the Big Huge Hair. Anybody that checks me out at retrobill.com that hasn't seen me in person or checks out my videos will be like, wow, this guy's flashy, lots of color. And I use that to make sure that captures their interest. When I walk out on stage, kids that have never seen me are like, wow, what is this guy? Of course, some of them go, Elvis is alive, you know. And what I find that helps is they know I'm for real. And it's hard to explain, but anybody that works in motivational speaking or anybody that's selling something, I'm trying to sell healthy choices, a good circle of friends, going after your goals, hopes, and dreams, not letting people put you down. I've lived it. And kids sense that. They know if you're a phony. And they also know when you're the real deal. And since I have to share with them, even as a grown adult walking around the way I'm dressed and with my Elvis hair up, I get laughed at even by adults. But it's like, you don't know me and you don't have permission to put me down. And I try to let kids, John and Tony, know that you have to give somebody permission to put you down in order for you to feel low. Don't give them that permission. And then I try to just really remind them that we all have resources we must utilize, counselors, teachers, parents, et cetera.
You told me you've been doing this now for a while, right? Shows all across the country, different places. Have you noticed anything about our culture or our society? And if so, has that changed what you do at all? Because, I mean, it seems to me, and I'm just venting a little bit, but it seems to me that there's a higher level of nastiness. I mean, or people just not getting along could be related to bullying. What do you see?
Well, compared to when we were kids, and you know, we're in our 20s.
Yes, exactly.
But yeah, I've been motivational speaking for 27 years, so that ought to give you an idea.
I feel I should use them.
Yes,
the rim shot, right?
Okay, do another one.
Yeah,
right. Okay.
Well, you know, in the old days, if you will, it was, I'm going to punch you. I'm going to push you. Take your lunch money. You know, things like that. Give you an elbow. Play too rough on a playground. Now what I've seen is bullies can come at you in all different ways. Text you. Post embarrassing pictures where they catch you eating lunch and your face is in a goofy expression and they post that. Kids think the whole world sees that. But all that really matters is that their friends and the people that they know at school see it. Yeah. And if you're embarrassed, it hurts. And so I see that social media has really given bullies an opportunity to kind of bully and tease, you know, from the safety of either their own cell phone or their own computer at home.
Right.
And that's pretty heavy. There's still the physical threats that happen out there, but going back to the social media thing, try to let these kids know, look, you and I know you see all kinds of videos of people doing things that you may laugh at. It may seem funny, but we also know if you really listen to your heart, what you may be laughing at by somebody embarrassing somebody or hurting somebody physically in a video, it's wrong. Don't look at that and think that somebody wasn't hurt by it. It's real.
We've had some here, and I'm sure you've got stories all over the country, some pretty serious things here in Key Biscayne. Kids, in one case, taking hot, nearly boiling water from a 7-Eleven where they, you know, they cook the hot dogs, and then throwing that at other kids, you know, that kind of stuff. I mean, it's just even more, even beyond just bullying. I mean, actually kind of getting to the assault area.
Yeah, well, there was a period of time when I was having principals, because I speak in all 50 states, and I was having principals saying, can you talk about this? And it would be things like, okay, kids have seen a video where it's okay to go up and slap a teacher. So I was addressing that. It's pretty serious. Kids were seeing a video, and then they would record themselves going into the restroom at school and tearing towel dispensers and soap dispensers just off the walls so that they could be part of the club and post their video online. And again, I tell them, look, you can't be doing that. You wouldn't want somebody to come to your house and start ripping stuff off of your wall. And there's always consequences. One, you're going to get caught. You're going to have consequences. But I try to personalize everything. Here's an example. I'm told, by custodians, can you please get the kids to help us out a little bit? You know, we're just noticing that it seems like people are becoming less respectful as time goes on, where the milk cartons are left on the table, food's on the floor, they're not putting trash in its place, toilets are left unflushed. And I try to personalize it. Sometimes I will invite the custodians out on stage, and then it becomes real for the kids. Because what I do is ask the custodian, that man or woman, do you have grandchildren? Do you have kids?
Yeah.
And when the kids hear them, right? And then it's not just, oh, it's the man or woman that keeps our school clean. They're a human being, they're a parent or a grandparent. It personalizes it.
So back to bullying. You have some you bring your personal experience to that, don't you? You try to relate to the kids who might be bullied, that you've been there.
Yes. And I think that that's really important, is that they realize that Retro Bill is doing what I do. And I share that with them because I don't want you to go through what I went through. I try to tell them, if I had listened to everybody that threatened me, that put me down, even in the adult world, I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing. I might not even be alive, because I would have let depression and fear overwhelm me. And I tell you, I have kids who come up to me and stand in line and say, you changed my life today. Thank you. I needed to hear this. I've let people dim my light. And here on the Key, which is a wonderful place, we all know that. Sure. And it's incredibly safe. And I'm honored to work with the Key Biscayne Police Department and the officers in our schools. Nobody's paying me to say this, but I've gotten to know them over the past couple of years. And they deeply care about the kids. They interact with them. They make sure they try to know all of their names. They tell the kids, you know, I'm approachable.
I'm not sure our residents, I mean, a lot of them understand that, but I mean, we're, John and I are out in the field all the time, and we see those interactions. You know, it really is a community that's small enough where, you know, officers can have a first name relationship with a kid.
Right, which is really unique. I grew up in a small town, so we knew the officers. But when I tell the kids who come up to me and go, Retro Bill, do you know what it's like to, and it's like, yeah, I know what it's like. I know what it's like not to want to go to school today because two kids just make fun of me because I have a learning disability in math, and I still have struggle with math. I mean, I'm always asking people, and it's basic math. For whatever reason, and it's frustrating, my brain just has a difficult time with numbers. And when I say that, again, elementary, middle, and high school kids, you see them sometimes tearing up, sometimes nodding their heads, because they're going through the same things. But I tell them, hey, it's okay. It's one day at a time, one problem at a time. But don't be afraid to ask for help. I use a lot of visual teaching tools. I use a remote control.
I was going to ask, because we have just a few minutes left. You know, you've been doing this a long time. You've talked about how it connects with kids, and you've had kids come up to you and say, you really changed my life. Parents are listening, of course, but there's also the older brothers, the family friends, the people who have maybe a little bit, they can sort of do a little bit from a different angle than mom and dad, because it's always a different dynamic. What would be a tip? What would be something you'd say, here's how, is it a visual thing? How would you try in a very simple way make a connection like you've been making.
Great point. I will tell you, school counselors come up to me and go, Retro Bill, I am totally getting a suitcase or using an old suitcase from home, and I'm bringing it to my counselor's office. Because I say, as I pick up that heavy suitcase, I say, this is what gets people in trouble. You carry it around emotionally. You got to set it down. And the kids crack up because then I drop it. And I go, drop it like it's hot. You know, and then as I pull that handle up out of the suitcase and I roll that heavy suitcase across the stage with the wheels, I say, use the resources. Don't carry it around inside. Here at Key Biscayne, I asked, they all have counselors, access to counselors at the schools. That's exceptional. You have school resource officers. That's exceptional. They're resources.
And I try to let them know. I mean, let's just cut to the chase. This is often a matter of life and death, right? I mean, you're trying to save kids out there.
Yes. And boy, that is really, really well said, John. And here's why. Anybody that knows anything about the school shootings that have taken place across the United States of America knows that when you track the lineage of the person, and I'm talking when the kids go in and create harm.
Yeah.
It goes right back to when they were in elementary school being bullied. You know, I'm told this the other day, that Parkland incident, when that was tracked back to that young man was also teased or bullied or what have you when he was younger. So yes, it is that serious. I also think it's the very thing that helps keep kids from choosing to do drugs. Now I want them to believe in their dreams. You got that body. That is your vehicle. Keep your vehicle 100% as you can to get to where you want to go. It's about you getting to your dreams, not just don't do it because it's against the law or it's illegal. I want to keep you healthy. I want to keep you happy and positive so you can get to where you want to go. I always tell them, you've just been retro-billified.
Well, that's a great way to, that's a compliment to be retro-billified, right?
If you, yeah. The best thing, and I will tell you guys, is this. When you've been doing something for 20-something
years. I don't know if you can hear me, but I appreciate you coming on. I John, can't hear you.
John is having an audio issue, so we're going to figure out why that is. But we'll just take that segment again. You were saying.
I was just going to tell you that the cool thing is when you've been doing something for a career for 27 years, I now have the benefit of those kids now as adults coming up to me 15, 20 years later saying, and they usually have kids in tow, right? They're holding little toddlers or whatever, 3-year-olds, 4-year-olds. And I think they're going to tell me that I just spoke at their son or daughter's school. And then the parents are looking at me going, no, you spoke at my school and you changed my life in fifth grade or in eighth grade. I've had students hand me suicide notes.
Yeah.
I've had kids hand me, not here on the Key, but elsewhere, drugs in a baggie, breaking down and crying, saying that they, you know, they need help. It's really, really, really been extraordinary. And here on the Key, I've just been grateful. I mean, I was at St. Agnes, and I just have to share 6th, 7th, and 8th graders. I mean, every single one of them stood in line to shake my hand or get a signed trading card from me. And they were so gracious. Thank you. You inspired me today.
And that's enriching for you.
Oh, yeah, huge.
Fantastic.
It helps me when I go to the Starbucks or some other coffee shop and some grown up laughs at my hair.
Well, I'm not laughing because I'm a fan. And we'll make sure that we, in our link to the show, we will have a link to your website and people can follow this up later and, you know, just keep the information going. And I just want to say thank you for coming on our program as our guest here on Antisocial.
It's been an honor.
And that's Retro Bill wrapping up our show here. We're back on Antisocial, and hopefully John Pacenti is back on.
I am back.
See if I can hear him. John, are you there in Boca?
I'm in Boca. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. So that's all right. We'll just edit that little glitch out. And, you know,
okay.
We don't like doing that on the show because we go what's known in the broadcast industry as live to tape. But, you know, technical stuff happens sometimes.
Watching you having this great conversation with Retro Bill, and I'm like missing out. I'm like, what's going on?
Right. Well, he was I was retrobilified. He's behind me now here, as you can see. So you get a sense of what's going on. We might have some additional sound effects for the rest of our program.
I swear I wish I had his hair. I really do.
Believe me, I count my blessings. And, yes. I'm grateful. That's how I know the creator said, you know what? You better do something with it.
Thank you.
You guys have both been a delight, and I want you also to know that Yesenia sings your high praises.
Wow, so that's nice of her. Thank you.
It's an honor, you guys. I'm really honored you guys took the time to talk to me.
Yeah, thanks for stopping by.
Thank you, sir. Peace out. Peace. Good luck. All righty. He's on the way. He's on the road, and you know, we were telling him, as I said before the show, we were going to talk about our next topic, which is, John, the story that you're working on. It'll come out, by the time this airs, it'll already be out.
Yes.
And by the way, are you still recording?
Yes, we're still live. Oh, yeah, okay.
I just wanted to ask, do you recommend that we stay away from going on or off the key around 6 o'clock and later?
Yes. Tonight I would. Yes.
Yes.
We went over really quick now over to Brickell and back in an hour and a half. What do you think?
You might be okay.
You might be okay if you do it in an hour and a half, you know, given the time of day it is now.
Okay.
You feel it.
Because right. I've heard it's a nightmare.
Tonight especially, yes.
It's going to be bad.
It's the afterlife. That's the name of the concert.
I tried it. It was the Night of the Living Dead.
Night of the Living Dead. All right. See you guys.
Peace out.
So, yes, an exciting little interview for us there as they exit our studio here.
Yeah, we got to get more of these artists on, Tony. More of these artists on. They're fun.
I enjoy it. I enjoy authors. There's lots of other stuff besides all the hard news, because there's so much hard news in this little town.
It's been a rough go.
Yeah, but we're gonna. So this is the segment where we talk about upcoming stuff and social media and if you're living anywhere near Key Biscayne, Brickell, this area of Miami, completely turned upside down by this concert that spills over out even outside of Key Biscayne and Virginia Key.
Yes. If you were, you know, out of the key, you know, off key working, you got to get back here before 6. You have to. It's a real, but people can't do that because they have extracurricular activities with their kids. And, you know, not everybody has the ability to leave work early.
Yeah. So we'll be writing about that story, as I mentioned a little bit. By the time this thing is out, the story will already be out, and you'll hear the voices from residents and from officials on what they're going to be doing. Unfortunately, there's nothing we can offer in the sense of anything approaching a solution, because this is an example of different governments, you know, not functioning well together. City of Miami, Miami-Dade County, Key Biscayne Police doesn't even have jurisdiction over this part of the roadway, but they're, you know, have to take the heat for it and try to do the best they can in terms of at least informing people what's happening. So we'll get into all of that on the show. It's the ongoing saga of the Rickenbacker Causeway and why that is the number one issue for Key Biscayne, and the larger story that John is working on that we'll have in the next coming days is, what is the long-term plan for the Rickenbacker? What is happening? And there's an update there, and we'll have information on that as well.
Right.
What else is on the list, John? You tell me.
Oh, well, actually, I wanted to do promote something that's on the site right now. My ride with Freebie, I wrote a feature on Freebie. It was a fun little story. I hung out with Brian, and we drove around town picking up residents and tourists, and it was cool. It was very pleasant. And so that feature on the Freebie and how it has just taken off on Key Biscayne is on our site right now.
Right. And maybe that's the solution to these jams on the Rickenbacker. Freebie gets its own lane or something like it.
You know, I think, well, the story is, which will come out, the chief says that these big events just aren't feasible at Miami Marine Stadium. And I think that's what you do. Somebody else also suggested using ferries, you know. I asked the chief, and he didn't think this was a feasible idea, but I don't see why you can't just load them up on buses and bring them in.
Well, they tried that at Ultra. That didn't work very well.
Yeah.
I mean, that was when, to bring you, this is before you joined us, but in 2019, Ultra was, the plan was to move it to Virginia Key, the city of Miami, making that decision, the city figuring that it would be a way to have a nice big space away from the problems that were happening in the park right downtown, and it turned out being an absolute mess. The venue just didn't work at all. Key Biscayne opposed it very vigorously. I was involved in some of those efforts, and it just everything essentially that the village predicted would happen did happen, and then worse. So it's an example of then. And, of course, these events keep happening again, so history is repeating itself. And that's, I think, the main reason, one of the main reasons there's so much, I would say, justifiable anger that the problem isn't solved. That the question is, who do you get angry at?
Well, I think you hit the nail on the head. I mean, the city of Miami doesn't, I mean, the Key Biscayne residents are not residents of the city of Miami. And the police just gave me a statement that said, hey, just try to be nice, you know, try to be, try to be patient. And I go, yes. That is not a solution.
The solution is don't get mad at us.
That yes, that's what they gave a statement that said that.
Yes. And, don't get mad at the City of Miami Police Department.
Now, it's affecting Brickell, and that is in the city of Miami. So maybe that will get their attention. I don't know. So, well, I mean, here's for certain. At the next village council meeting, people are going to be, you know, seething.
You know, I'm wondering, maybe it's time for civil disobedience. What do you think? Is that something the city can do? I don't know. People can do it. I don't know if the city can do it.
What are you talking about? What is your suggestion?
I don't know. You know, some kind of singing or, you know, parades or a march. I don't know. March on something, you know. I don't know. It seems to me that that's the level of action is you know, because the city, Key Biscayne has tried different things. There was a lawsuit that cost a fortune that didn't lead to an enforceable solution of any kind with the city of Miami. The county controls the roadway. We're still editing our sheriff show, but we asked every of the candidates who came in for sheriff what they would do about the Rickenbacker because of the existing problems that are there, and we'll have those answers for people. There has to be a will to say no to events that don't make sense. That's kind of the bottom line.
One of the things is that, okay, this event is supposed to bring 15,000 concert goers each night, last night and tonight. The country musical festival that happened in November, that was half as much as this one. And that caused a huge problem. So that's like 6,000 people in November. And that caused traffic again to stand still. And, you know, Tony, it takes nothing for something like this to happen, in the sense of, I believe there was a bus lane that was causing problems during the country music festival. And what I understand now is ride shares don't know where to go. I talked to a Key Biscayne resident. He said, there's no signage to telling them where to go. And so they were just dropping off people in the middle of the road.
Right. And that's exactly that happened in Ultra. I saw it happen with my own eyes. And it's a repeat of, you know, what is called, technical term is a MOT, which is a transportation plan that's supposed to be used for these events. And I don't know. This is a whole separate show. So just the bottom line of this before we exit this topic is read the story in the Independent. We're going to be following up on, you know, again, it's connected to the larger story of the Rickenbacker, but this is a more of an immediate thing about, well, okay, that could be decades away. What happens with the Rickenbacker? How events are managed now and how they're handled now is an intergovernmental problem. It's about agencies not talking to each other, and that's where we're going to take the story. All right, we're also working on another big story that is this one is sort of connected, right? In terms of at least to the dollar. You were at a very long meeting, were you not?
Oh, that's right. I almost forgot. You know, I just had a council member call me.
Yes. Right during the show? We should get him on live.
No, it was right before the show. And he goes, where's the story from last night? And I'm like, hey, I'm writing about this traffic jam right now, but I got, you know, I got it all outlined, so don't worry, it's coming. Yeah, it was a, you know, as for the term workshop, they really did workshop it. It was a good meeting. I'm not saying that there was any, the council's still divided on the level of service for the new stormwater.
Let's translate what we mean by level of service. Because what we're talking about here is just the amount of money that they're going to spend. Will it be $300 million or some other number that this plan is going to cost? That seems to be what's going on. Level of service is term.
I should have did a sound effect. Big dig.
Yes, the level of service is basically how fast does the water get pumped out when there is a major rain event, and it is based on not just the events happening now, but what's expected to happen in the future. And so you have different scientific disciplines. You have the engineering, which is the computation of how the water is moved and the size of the pipes and the size of the pumps and all that other stuff. And then you have the predictive nature of it, which is really climatology. The village is kind of not doing that aspect of it. They're asking the engineers, well, what assumptions are you getting from the climatological predictions of the future? And there's different opinions about that. And that's one of the drivers of the appetite for spending. That's what you saw last night, and then that'll also be in your story.
Yeah, I mean, Brett Moss came with his own modeling, his own vectors.
Well, we'll have to look at that. I'd be interested in seeing what it's based on.
Well, basically, he is saying that you know, that even if we do the lower level of service, that it is such night and day, and that was his words, night and day from what is going on right now. And that it will just mean that on really big storms, I mean like once in every 10-year storms, there'll be lots of water on the road for several hours.
He's made that point many times.
People
up north get used to big snowstorms and they just don't leave their house. And that's the same idea. And we plan for the much more mundane things and make that life better.
So Allison McCormick shot back and goes, you know, not everybody up here is romanticizing those snowstorms. And
I grew up north. They were fun. We got to not go to school.
And
we listened to the radio in our little, back then it was a wall radio in our kitchen. Do people have wall radios? And
yeah.
we'd wait for the local station, WRKL, to come on and say whether or not school had been canceled.
Yeah. Yeah. I grew up in Arizona. No such luck.
No? Did they have heat wave cancellations in Arizona?
Man, we'd be out there, you know, running sprints at recess and just like dying.
That's insane. That's
just
insane.
Just dying. Then we come back to class and we'd
dying. So
yes.
we have that issue coming up, and then a number of other stories in the pipeline. We want to tease. We have a couple of minutes.
Well, we talked about the Causeway story. That's going to be just like they're at very preliminary stages and what that means. So, you know, and then, you know, the seawater, the ocean temperatures are still way above normal and it's
and
not boding well.
Right.
Yeah.
We had an unbelievably off the charts warm water in the ocean and causing death of coral reefs and other kinds of major impacts on the environment. And all the indicators are that this year is looking to, if not be just as bad, perhaps worse than we saw last year. And we're working on that story as well. So more cheery news that we can try to get. I mean, I was really happy Retro Bill was here. That was actually good to have. Some more positive stuff.
And then we have a homeless story on the site right now, too. And, you know, there's a new state law that's going to try to remove homeless from the from public spaces. And it's a DeSantis-backed initiative. And we're going to see how that
happens. And there's reactions are not. Some people are very upset with it. Other organizations that are trying to help with the homeless are not as critical. So we have that story on our site as well.
Yes.
And then we had, of course, just looking at, and we'll, maybe we'll close with this, just, you know, the ongoing political discussion we mentioned all the time. We did talk a little bit about the impact in Key Biscayne. We had a Florida primary that took place this week. And I thought it was somewhat interesting.
We did a short story. But we're crazy wonks.
Yeah,
I found it interesting too.
Right, and that the you know what is shaping up for this election, and between, I don't think there's few who disagree. It's a pivotal election in the sense of what direction this country will be on in the future, what type of a democracy it is, or whether it remains the kind of democracy that it is now is up for stake. Those are the stakes. But in terms of the voting, Key Biscayne, really an outlier for the rest of Dade County amongst Republicans. This is a closed primary. Only Republicans can vote. And most, or I would say, although the president, former president, did carry about 57% of the votes here in Key Biscayne, he didn't get to 60%. More than 40% of people who voted, Republicans in Key Biscayne, voted for somebody else.
I was more interested statewide that DeSantis came in third in his own state, and so I'm wondering if that's indicative of public sentiment for him here in Florida, that he's kind of maybe lost the battle, you know, with all this anti-woke stuff.
Yeah, he was asked, by the way, whether he would be actively campaigning for President Trump as we move further into the season, and he didn't really give a committal answer. So
interesting.
Yeah. So yes. That is just an interesting dynamic about how different communities react differently. But even statewide, you mentioned the governor, Nikki Haley, came in at about 19% of the vote in Florida. So that's a pretty significant. If you're counting on to turn out every single vote in every, you know, election, and many people think it's going to be really close, that's a warning sign, obviously, for people supporting Mr. Trump.
Yeah, and he has major money
problems. And
plenty of
warning signs for Mr. Biden as well. I mean, let's be fair, the Democratic Party in Florida did not even allow a primary for the presidential race in Florida. And there was actually litigation over it.
Yeah, that was that's a bad move. The Florida Democratic Party is, I mean, it's broken. But
I would say this: if you're ever, most of the time, when the question is should we let people vote or not in an election, the usual default answer would be yeah, sure.
You want to get enthusiasm.
Yeah, exactly. I mean,
you want to gauge enthusiasm.
Right.
You want to get voters motivated.
Yeah.
You know,
it's just if you want to have a primary system as in the past, where the candidates for president are chosen in smoke-filled rooms, that's one model. But most of America kind of ditched that some time ago. So why would you go backwards to that? And that's essentially what happened. They went to the smoke-filled room model for the Democrats in Florida. I don't know that it's going to make a big hill of beans in the scheme of things, but it was a bit odd.
Yeah, I mean, it's an outdated party. It's not even inclusive from personal experiences of my family members that try to get involved in it, and they just said nope, I don't think so.
And it explains, you know, I think, why, if you look at and keep skating, another looking at the numbers, just registration, both parties are, you know, the largest party in Key Biscayne is independent.
And yeah,
that keeps growing every year.
Yeah, I mean, Nikki Fried, who's the head of the Florida Democratic Party, is in, I don't, what do you call it when you start purging? I'm trying to remember. Is this like a czar kind of thing? She's just like purging Democratic leaders in counties all over the place.
I don't know. Well, circular firing squad is the term that comes to mind. but this is our show. We're going to close out now. Please, support local journalism and this show, kbindependent.org. You can read the stories that John is talking about. And coming up, really importantly, is baseball season.
Yes. I didn't get to talk to Retro Bill if he was a Cubs fan or not.
Well, because he's from Chicago, yeah, we should have asked him. But maybe he's based in California, so he's got some teams out there too. But sure opening day, I guess technically the official opening day has already happened, but most teams next week. So,
okay. Well, Tony, I guess until next week.
Thank you, John. This is Tony Winton. Thank you for listening to Antisocial.
This is John Pacenti. Smooth sailing, everybody. As a sunflower.